Hello, it's Lisa and Pete, and here's today's edition of The Catch-Up.
Sunday and public holiday penalty rates, they're going to be a thing of the past. We spoke to David Sharp from Global Financial Planning to find out what it really means for employers and employees.
Matt Damon is in a new blockbuster, The Great Wall. Justin Hamilton will tell you why you're probably better off going to your local Chinese restaurant and ordering a number 73 instead of seeing this movie. Greg, the producer, Greg writes these. Well done. That's one of your better ones. Well done.
Even if it's the Peking duck and you have to wait for 2 days. Plus, the West Australian food editor, Rob Broadfield, will tell us what it is like to be a food reviewer and what he thinks of food bloggers.
The perfect drive home is with Lisa and Pete. And the perfect kitchen is with APG Homes. Get 25K to customise the kitchen of your new two-storey with their Kitchen Flair and Air promotion. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
I'm a Celebrity, get me out here. It's back tonight, 7:30 on 10. We're so excited to have these two.
The same room at the same time.
It's great. Live from the African jungle is Dr. Chris Brown and Julia Morris. Hello.
It's not that it's weird that you're in the same room at the same time, but as you know, we're huge, almost stalkery fans of the show, and we've spoken to both of you, but never at the same time. It's like when De Niro and Pacino appeared on the cinema at last in Heat.
It's the apex of our jungle life. We're together for more than 2.5 seconds because we've run ragged all day.
And I can imagine that would be even more so the case considering the incredible weather that you're having over there at the moment. Is it as bad as we're seeing on the television, the cyclone and everything?
Yeah, look, absolutely. It came through sort of the tail end of last week and has, in weather terminology, transformed itself into a tropical low. So it's just sort of stuck over the top of us and it's causing the rivers to rise and the hippos to get moving, the snakes to get moving. But the only thing not moving are our celebs. They're sort of stuck in camp on, you know, the equivalent of that family camping trip that goes horribly wrong, where the rain never stops and everyone's sort of stuck in there. Forced to really confront their own issues with each other, which is actually making for really, really good TV.
Honestly, combining veterinary science and meteorology, it's so sexy, Julia.
I dabble.
It's almost like a National Lampoon's jungle vacation.
It is. Now, the first thing I want to talk about, Tom Arnold. First of all, when people say, I don't know anything about the show, I've never seen the show, I don't believe them. There's no way they would sign up to do something they didn't at least Google once.
I totally agree with you. I think I think it's a very convenient excuse to say, I know nothing about the show, like you're separating yourself from the format. You're like,
yes.
There's only two ways this can go. Either you're lying or you're an idiot.
Exactly. It just validated my long-held belief that Tom Arnold ruined the Roseanne show. He's Yoko Arnold.
Yeah, totally.
I got to admit, one thing that I really enjoy about this show is the roller coaster of emotions that I feel just watching the people that are in camp and how I feel about them at the beginning of the show versus how I feel about them towards the end.
In spite of yourself.
Jay LaGaia, for example, was one of them where, you know, at the beginning I'm like, this guy's from play school.
Yeah.
How great. You know, I grew up childhood. Got towards the end, I went, okay, bit of a snake in the grass here. And then Kira Maguire's come into camp and I've gone throughout the entire Bachelor series, oh, Kira. Hate Kira. Can't stand Kira. And now, especially since the World's End Challenge, kind of going, all right, there's something more to this chick that I'm starting to like.
Of course. I'm with you. You know, we keep seeing her day after day. She's been voted in for, I think she's up to something like 5 or 6 challenges in a row.
Mm.
And she's very vocal in those challenges. Mm.
That's going to get you in.
Yeah, she's one of the strongest players we have seen face-to-face in a long while. I can't help but try and dissolve some of my dislike and go, you know what, you're all right.
It'd be unlike me to sort of transition from meteorology to psychology.
Oh, go on.
It's the basis of the show, really, is to actually, you know, you see all the critters and the bugs and the snakes and the spiders, but the whole point of those things is that to pare everything away so you're left with the real person that's underneath.
Well, let's keep her there because I was excited to hear Kira was going in because I want to hear more about what must be a very interesting story growing up in an environment extraordinarily different to most of us as she has.
And what essentially from, you know, the bits and pieces we've heard so far is that she's been given no boundaries through her life.
Yeah.
She's had no parenting. So while it's very easy for, you know, me early in the piece to stand in judgment, I, you know, have not had that upbringing. I've had
me
parents
either.
In the home both work, you know, at the traditional kind of Aussie 70s story. So in actual fact, she's amazing.
Yes.
Someone who's been left boots since they were a child.
Well, you know what? I think what we're all hoping for at home is that
the Julia and Chris show.
It continues. The two of you get married and you adopt Kira. It would be just sensational.
I think it would be an extraordinary treat for Chris to be married to me.
I must just say, one of the things I love about the show is I look forward to your entrance each night, Julia, and my favourite thus far has been the high leg kick to what we are then led to believe is a crew full of people.
Oh, you look, you've just got to lift a leg whenever you can. I've said that for years. Only yesterday, when I got back to my private home, a baboon had kindly lifted its leg all over my couch. I have a basic understanding of the exchange of the leg lift.
Well, guys, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us on the Lisa and Pete Show. We look forward to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. The next episode back tonight, 7:30 on Tanny. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys.
Now, there's a massive announcement concerning penalty rates here in Australia. For more on this, we're joined by David Sharp. He's the director at Globe Financial Planning. He's here to help break it all down for us. Thanks for joining us, David.
No problem. G'day, guys.
Hi,
how
David.
Are you?
David. Well, I guess there's not too much to break down in the initial sort of announcement that's happened. Penalty rates changing and a lot of talk that people will lose maybe $80 a week or so from their pay.
Yeah, and look, it's going to depend on the industry you're in and also whether you're a full-time, part-time or casual worker, because it is quite varied depending on what happens. But yeah, certainly for those who are relying on those Sunday penalty rates at the level they are, it's going to be a big change.
Who are the winners in all of this, David? Because, you know, you're going to be hearing a lot of people obviously complaining today and they feel that they have the fair right to do so because their rates are going to be slashed. But who's actually going to be winning out of all of this?
Yeah, so the business council is the ones obviously putting forward to reduce penalty rates from the levels they are at the moment. So if they, you know, for those already opening on a Sunday and all of a sudden the pay they're paying to their employees is going down, well, that's obviously a big win for them straight away. The intent, I guess, of this is to suggest that if there's lower costs on opening on a Sunday, perhaps more businesses will open and then therefore there's more jobs. But that's going to be a subjective and that's going to be something that we're going to assess in 5 years looking back. Yeah. But that doesn't help the person who's losing their pay right now.
No, and not when it's $80 out of $600. It really is, you know, it makes a huge difference to that pay. And they say, you know, we are the people that can't afford to lose $80 from it. We're the ones that get picked on. But I guess, as Pete was saying, you know, there's not necessarily winners out of it, is there? It's not like someone's doing this to someone else to win. It is an economic thing, isn't it?
Yeah, look, well, the win, if you want to call it that term, is, you know, the intent of it is if more businesses are opening, then therefore there's more jobs and then more people can benefit from penalty rates in total. So it's collective rather than the individual. But that doesn't help the individual who's losing, unfortunately. And you know, the reason penalty rates came about is this fancy word, and you'll hear it being bandied around, called disutility. And all that means is how much of a pain in the backside is it to work on a Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah.
Right? So that's what it is. And so Sundays have always been this real family day and time to spend with all that sort of stuff. So you get rewarded for working on it, and those rates up to 200% if you're in the retail industry. And that's, you know, that's sort of coming down. And the Fair Work have come out and said, well, we don't think Sundays much worse than Saturdays anymore.
Well,
they're bringing the rates down.
It is sort of a throwback. It is a very, I mean, we've grown up with the whole penalty rates and that kind of attitude about working on a Sunday and a public holiday. Back when it first came about, not too many people did work on a Sunday or a public holiday, but now so many people's lives are structured around a 7 day a week, 24-hour roster. So a lot of, you know, people don't get it, and other people think, well, it's unheard of to ask me to come in on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It depends on where you're at as well. Yeah. And the thing is, if you've got kids go to school Monday to Friday, so you only get to see them Saturday and Sundays.
Yep.
So that's why, you know, there is still that fancy term, disutility, again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a really, really awkward one. And look, some people do target Sundays as well to get that additional pay. And
of course,
To go out and get it. So I know the unions will come out and absolutely bash it. And I know the business councils wanted more. Mm. And maybe this is middle ground. And, you know, if everyone's unhappy, maybe we've found a pretty good medium.
All right, David, we appreciate your thoughts, mate. Thank you,
David.
No problem, guys.
See you, mate. Rob Broadfield is the editor of the Good Food Guide, does all things food about town, unless, of course, it's got anything to do with Hampton City Beach, which we received a little note earlier in the week, mate, saying that somebody took a picture of their front window and it had a picture of your face saying, banned from this establishment. Can you enlighten us as to what's going on there?
No, they weren't very happy with the review I gave them.
No.
The funny thing is they didn't need the ban me for life because I'd never go back.
No, that's the irony of it. But, it opens up a broader conversation. We've never chatted to you about how interesting it must be to be a food reviewer. Some say food critic, which is weird to use the word critic as reviewer.
Yeah,
but, it can be a blessing and a curse, I imagine. Do you ever get to go out and eat without sort of a whisper going, make it good?
Not too often these days, incredibly. But it is interesting. If you didn't have a thick skin and broad shoulders, you couldn't do this job.
No.
Because people really hate on you.
Yes.
Having said that, the flip side of that is the best part of this job. It's finding young, new restaurants and bright young people and giving them a leg up. I mean, enough, I'm sitting at a restaurant as I speak to you, which I gave a great rating to a few months ago, and it had an immediate effect on their business. It picked up overnight, and they never looked back. And that's the real great thing about this job is you can... Yeah, you slam the bad ones, as you have to.
Yeah.
But the flip side is you can really give restaurants that mightn't be known to the public too well, you can give them a real lift.
You're back there because you liked the stuff, not because they're treating you so good because you liked the stuff. It is weird. And you don't go back to a restaurant that you didn't like because you didn't like it, not because you were banned. It's a funny job.
You know, some, how do you say this, blogger people.
Yes.
Are in the restaurant reviewing business because of what they can get for free.
Yes.
And I loathe the personality around my job. It's minor personality, I have to say, but I hate grovelling. So I feel really comfortable in restaurants where I can just have a ball.
Yeah.
And it's great. And restaurants like the one I'm in today, which is just brilliant.
Now, Rob, just on that Hamptons U being banned and stuff, didn't you do that review back in December?
Yeah, I think so. It was a few months ago, wasn't it? Well, no, it was about 6 weeks ago, maybe. So it must have been, around about Christmas time, I guess.
Mm. Right. So why now?
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? I think what happened was a colleague of Michael John Lefflin, who writes for the Australian newspaper, around about the same time, coincidentally, he wrote a review of the Hamptons restaurant and said exactly the same thing I did. He loved food.
Oh.
And I think that might have triggered their response.
You were the closest one to...
They probably couldn't write a picture of him, right?
No. So damn you both.
Oh, wow. Hey,
it doesn't hurt to be in a job where, you come in and people are going to be on their best. So that's always a plus.
Can I be serious for a moment?
Yes, of course you can.
Only for a moment, I promise. What people forget is, and I think a lot of chefs forget, is I'm not writing for chefs. I'm writing for readers.
Yes.
Because it's the end of the day, it's a consumer column. It's about, what's good, what's bad, what you should go to and what you shouldn't go to.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get chefs particularly, very precious crew.
Oh, yes.
They get very upset when they really shouldn't. I had a chef just recently. I gave him a glowing review. I mean, absolutely glowing. And he bitches about it, so you just can't pick it.
They are precious. I used to work in hospitality and even then they did demand to be called chef.
Yes, chef.
Yes, chef. Well, when I was training as a chef, it was Lee Chef.
Yes.
Lee Chef.
Yes. Well, thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Get more Lisa and Pete for the drive home and get more than 40 grand added value in your new two-story with APG Homes Kitchen Flair and Air promotion for a limited time.